Well, good morning. Name's Oscar for anybody who hasn't heard. And it is a good morning. So I'm going to start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for your mercy and love and grace that you've given us and can live day by day knowing that we have a Savior that has saved us from the wrath to come and saved us from just many things that we can live life in peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. Let your Holy Spirit be the teacher today and let us just enjoy the scriptures, enjoy your word, and enjoy fellowship as we have. And your glory in your name. Amen. Alright, so so we are going to get into something good today, and today is going to be a shout out to the women, to the Christian women out there. So I feel like sometimes we don't give them the credit that they have, but that they deserve. But today is going to be honoring Christian women, virtuous women, women of excellence, and we just want to give them a shout out and kind of put them out there because they deserve that. And there's a lot of Christian women that work hard. And so first off, I want to give a shout out to Paul Belbach, Pastor Paul Belbach in Wisconsin. He, him and Mary, and if they're listening, that I'm appreciative of them because I listened to one of Paul. I never came to church, and I wasn't coming to church, and I listened to one of his messages, and a lot of things rung that it's good to come to church and to fellowship with each other, and I've been ever since. So, yeah, shout out to him. Appreciate that. And I want to honor the guests that are here from Brazil, Wesel and Daisy, and they're going to be teaching the next one. So we're grateful that we're here, that they're here. So, like I said, this is a shout out to the women, and we will be talking about women in and out of the Bible. So women here, women in and out of the Bible. And I'm going to give a story about a Christian woman that we probably heard of before. And have you had a strong woman in your, strong Christian woman in your life? So I know many of us here do. But anybody listening that don't, that this is, or they want to be a strong Christian woman, this is something that we could get into the scriptures and learn. So they're inspiring and great to have. Sometimes and oftentimes, like I just said, that we kind of don't give them the credit for the strength they provide in all walks of our life, which is either in relationships or a church or in other things that we kind of take for granted. And even in a relationship, strong women can pick up the slack that weak men or men that are having tough times. There's women that pick up the slack for us and they help us and they're strong-willed because sometimes, you know, that's why we have women. They're our help meets and they help us, and I'm grateful for mine for sure. And there have been strong women in my life that I've overlooked at times, but have helped me immensely in my life. And the Apostle Paul, if you notice through his throughout his epistles, that he gives shout-outs to people. He does it often. He's always, you know, he always gives people credit, even at the end of the epistles. So I think it's fit to give shout-outs sometimes and to kind of recognize those that do well. So like our church family, you know, everyone here, all the women here, you know, you have Lori, Sue, Tracy, and everyone else that, and Sue, then Virginia, they're starting a women's Bible study, and that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, that's something that's needed, and so we'll get into some scriptures that kind of, you know, so there's going to be a lot of scripture we're going to get into. We're going to see just what God has to say about women in general and all that. So I have both of my grandmothers, my Grandma Carmen and my Grandma Rita. They put me on the right track for going to church and taking me to church. And they always praying, always loving the Lord. Strong women in my life that I overlooked. And I'm not doing that today. So I wanted to recognize them. My mother, she loves the Lord, believes in the Bible, she believes God. She loves me and always wanted good for me and put up with my foolishness. So Diana, she loves me like I'm her own son. And she's been there for me and she's always there for me. And my aunts, I have my Aunt Sherry, Norma, Amaryllis, Cheeky, and my Aunt Lisi. They always were there, even at my low of the low. So when they were, and they're always accepting, they're all God-fearing women. And when I needed them, they were there. And, you know, even through all the damage and things that I've done, they still accept me, and I'm appreciative of that. And I wanted to say something about my wife's mother. She's a strong woman in the faith. She's older, and she doesn't play. She loves the Lord, and she's always keeps the Lord in mind. What is God has to say about things, and we get along. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for her. And last but not least, my wife. So, you know, my wife, you know, but she's saved the best for last. So she's been a structural and sensible rock for me, helping me through all life's endeavors. Very faithful and loving woman. She, constantly praying and in God's word. She works hard for our family and with all the best intent to make us better and keep us grounded and strong in Christ. And, so I love her and I'm thankful for her for that. And I just did we did a Bible study over the week, and I met a young lady who I don't think I've seen someone so strong to learn about the Bible. And she's a young lady. She's my cousin's girlfriend, and she came and she was studying, and she had such a strong she wanted to know. She's seen all these bad doctrines and all these churches that she's been to. So I'm giving a shout out to her because this is she's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this today, because, you know, there's women out there that are hungry to know, and she was hungry. And we honored the Lord that day. So she wants to come again and to study some more. So thank God for that. So what is a Christian woman today? So, I'm going to answer that question. Simply put, it's the same as a Christian man. She believes the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, studies the word, and wants to serve the Lord. You know, so that's a Christian woman. You know, she's pretty simple. They're nurturers, caretakers of the home, you know, loving. Here's a little bit of studies I found about women that we might, that I've seen online that, you guys might find interesting that women have higher IQs than men. So this is something that I've seen. So that they learn better, they're cleaner than men, they live longer, they're good at investing, and one thing that I do know is women. A lot of women are personable, and that they're good listeners and good at being a comfort in a time of distress. And I've seen that, you know, firsthand. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. All right. So as we're going there, I'm going to kind of, when we know a lot of these verses and we know a lot of these things, but I'm going to kind of name off 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. So we know godly wives or wives, we know that there's a few verses that I'm not going to get into today, but we know that God says that they're helpmeets. We've seen that in Genesis 2:18. We know that they're loving and that they have loving and gracious submission to the leadership of her husband. You see that in Ephesians 5. Not strive to resist the leadership of her husband. See that in Genesis 3:16 and 1 Peter. They respect their husband. Diligent worker, whether at home or in the workplace. And right now we're just describing what God says about a woman, a wife. So, hospitable toward others and generous to the poor. See that, we'll see that in a bit. Cares for children in the household. and they're beautiful on the inside, as long, you know, and as long as much as beautiful on the outside. So we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in the odd time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, loving, compassionate one another, loving as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So, when we know, as we read who's writing, who they're writing to, we know this is a book that Peter's writing, and it's to the and we know it's in the future, but like we said, all of Scripture is good for inspiration, and basically these verses are saying we like when women dress up and look nice and all them things, you know, but to adorn themselves, you know, and to be, you know, be to not be, to be meek and to be of, you know, what's it called? To be meek and to be, not to be out there like that. You know, everyone knows what I mean. So these verses are saying, hey, women, you know, and we know a lot of these verses. So, but a lot of these, I want to read through them, and then we kind of, and that weaker vessel, we went through that before, but it's like what I learned from Dave, that you have two objects of two equal value. And because you hear a lot today that women, you know, are equal with men. Well, of course you're equal with men. But you have two objects of two equal value. One can withstand, one is a weaker vessel than the other, meaning you're both equal, we both are the same. But one can be outside and one can be on the inside. So if this one like a object is, if it's outside, it can easily break. But if, you know, men, we've got a tougher, you know, we can withstand the outside thing. So if that makes sense to anybody, but that's a little thing of the weaker vessel. So we're of equal value, but our structures are different. So just kind of wanted to go through that. And so before we move on, we all know this, that society today is messing with our women today. They're teaching them improper doctrines. They're teaching them to be, you know, not the way they should be. I mean, lies through the media, through schools, through schools and other outlets. You know, they have our women with drugs, sex, and immorality. It's just the opposite of God's word, and it can be sad and scary. And if you have been part of this world system and are fed up with it, for the ladies, serve Christ and follow His word. I mean, you will be eternally grateful. Because, and I don't want to get too much into that, but you know, the worldly women, you know, you have something that you can come to. You know, you have God's word, and you can, and I know some women that they're looking for that answer, and the answer's in God's word. And you'll feel infinitely better. You feel like you're trapped in a vicious cycle, you know, the cycle of the same things over and over again. That's just, bringing down your confidences, bringing down, you know, your worth, that you feel like you're not worth anything. Well, you're worth everything to the Lord. And I would, and if you come on this side, you never know unless you try it. And you ain't going to want to go back. So let's go to Proverbs. And we know a lot of Proverbs has things we could say. And as we go through these scriptures, you kind of, you know, this is a Sunday school, so I'm just trying to show you guys what God's Word has to say about things. So as we're going, ask questions in your mind. And at the end, if you have any questions, any comments, just let me know. But as you're going through the scriptures, question these things and see, you know, give yourself questions and ask yourself, what does God have to say about this? What is this? Because maybe somebody who's listening has never heard these. So Proverbs chapter 9. And we're going to kind of bounce up to Proverbs all the way to chapter 31. Okay. Chapter 9, verse 13. I just found some verses that God kind of mentions women. And we'll see. Chapter 9, verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. So that clamorous is loud. So God sees as a woman as foolish, as this is a foolish woman, is simple and knoweth nothing. So whatever you want to take that, we could take that as it is. Chapter 11, verse 16, which is just right down the street there. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and a strong man retain riches. So a woman with grace, she has honor, God says. You know, you're graceful and don't be nasty, and you're gracious with the way you are and the way you talk. You have honor in that. Chapter 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And that can be just for anybody, you know, like a woman that's nasty and says all these mean things, or however she is, it's as rottenness to his bones. I'm sure it's to anybody, even a man. Even when a man is like, you don't want to be around that person. It's like, ugh, you know. Chapter 14, verse 1. And this one's kind of a common verse. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And let's go to chapter 21, verse 9. All right. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. In a wide house. So that's kind of, you know, funny, but I mean, we all get in arguments, and you know, and a woman that wants to brawl all the time, she's probably not somebody you want to be around with, and you know, and woman doesn't want to be brawling all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. A woman can definitely state what she, her opinions, and state what she feels is right. And I, you know, in my marriage, I know that Rhonda has a lot of opinions, and we work those out, and she's right about things. So usually I'm wrong. So that's, you know, there's compromise, and there's me, myself, as a man. You know, you have to find out, hey, yeah, you have whatever I'm thinking, you know, the leader of the head of the household or whatever, but at the same time, you don't have all the answers. Men, we don't have all the answers, and that's why we have our women, because a lot of times they have wisdom that we can take from. So, and definitely firsthand. So, and then we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 31, which is the main verses that I wanted to get into. And Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Here's the main thing of our text. For her price is far above rubies. So we know rubies can be pricey, but a virtuous woman there. High moral standards or putting God's principles first. A virtuous woman there that if you find one, for her price is far above rubies. And then even women that are caught up in the world system, they can become virtuous. They can become better. And we believe in you women, so we believe in you and you can do it. Let's see. I thought I had a little, some more here. Trust and speak. Well, I think that's it. Oh, no, verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The woman that feareth the Lord, you know, you ain't got nothing coming to you but honor and praise. And that's definitely what's good and to feel good about. Now, I wanted to get to, let's go to Titus real quick, then we'll move forward from there. Titus chapter 2. And I should explain, we were at the beginning that I was going to kind of go through, it was a threefold, so we were going to go through Christian women, and then we were going to talk about it a little bit in the Bible, and then at the end we're going to see Christian women in the Bible and talk about them. So Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That's a good term to know, sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So you have that sober, temperate. Are we sober? Are we temperate? Sound in faith, in patience. The aged women likewise. So that's likewise what we just said. That they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. And we can just do verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. So there's a lot there, and just kind of describing men and women, a pattern of good works, to be sober. And I know a lot of people in this world, they want one foot in and one foot out. You know, they want to be with the Lord, but at the same time, they want to be in with the world. And it doesn't work that way that great. So just take it from me. So if you want to be out there drinking and going out and partying, but at the same time, you want to be holy and go to church and read your Bible, there's conflictions there. So you want to choose to be what this is saying here, sound in faith, so that you have a pattern of good works. Because, you know, you see that pattern, because you're gonna fall some way, somehow, through being a bad example, through, you know, someone sees you, another family member, and they're like, oh, this guy wants to play holy, but at the same time, he's doing all these negative things, you know, and that's a bad example for you and for the Word of God. So, because we represent God's word, so we're ambassadors in Christ, and we don't want to be doing that. All right, so I just wanted to say a little before I get to some of the strong biblical women in the Bible. I'd like to tell a story about a Christian woman named Elizabeth Elliot. Have we heard of her, Elizabeth Elliot? Yeah, she's She's a very strong Christian woman. There was many stories I could go to. Even Harriet Tubman. Have you heard of Harriet Tubman? Mm-hmm. She was a Christian, and she was the one who was freeing slaves through the Underground Railroad. And there's a lot of women out there that risk their neck for other believers to help people. And there's endless stories. You can go online and find them. There's a lot of stories about strong women. But I chose this one because this one was, I like this one. So she was born in 1926 in Brussels, Belgium. She was a missionary in Ecuador. So she served single at first, and then she married a man named Jim Elliot. So in 1956, Jim and other missionaries were speared to death by a tribe that the tribe was named the Wildini tribe. And they were trying to make contact with these people because they were missionaries, and they were speared to death. The husband was. I mean, some women would probably be scared, probably be, you know, even men. People would be scared and whatever, you know, oh, dang, these people aren't playing. They don't want us here. And they killed him. And what did she do? She continued in the Ecuadorian jungle, continued until she ended up meeting them, getting the gospel to the same people that speared her husband. So she continued and continued, all for the Lord. And when odds seemed bad for her, she continued and did that, ultimately bringing the gospel to them. And to me, that hit strong, because it's like, okay, you're in a foreign land, you're serving the Lord, you know, your husband just died, everyone's with other men, and you're trying to get to these people. It could be disheartening, but what she did it to get the gospel, for the furtherance of the gospel. And that's the main thing there, that she was strong for God, strong for the Word. And she definitely, she has a radio ministry, she had a radio ministry, she did speaking, she wrote books. And like I said, this is one of the heroic women that accomplished great feats to serve the Lord, because there's many of them. And what courage and forgiveness she had. She was a courageous woman, and she was forgiven. And it brought me to a place to, I'm like, okay, well, that's that inspired me. That really did. That was a good story that I heard, and I wanted to share that with you, because we live here in America. We got it good. We're afraid to go down the street sometimes and share with our neighbors. But she went across the world and did it, and made it happen, and gave it to her gave the gospel to her murderers of her husband. So, all right. So now we're going to get into the women of the Bible. Now, we know a lot of women that have been strong in God's word, but we're going to kind of go through the list here, and a lot of these women we've heard, but we're going to start off with Sarah, Abraham's wife, one of the two women mentioned in the Heroes of Faith, and that we kind of went through in Hebrews. She had faith in God that she would conceive even when she was past age and barren. I mean, a lot of people, hey, I'm old, I can't have a kid, you know. And then we know that, you know, she probably felt useless at the time or sad, but she had faith and she got that. Even when Abraham was grieved to have Ishmael be with them, she was said, no, he can't be. She followed God's word and said, he can't be heir with us. So God said, hearken unto your wife. Hearken unto what she said, because what she said is right. And that's what I was saying earlier, that a lot of times I'm not right, and that's why I have my wife there. She helps me through that. We have the midwives. You guys remember them? And Exodus, where the midwives were Pharaoh decided to kill all the sons. I mean, the midwives are the women that helped birth the babies. So it wasn't the women birthing the babies, it was the women helping birth the babies. So Pharaoh told them, hey, when that baby comes out, kill him. And they said, nope, we're not going to do that. And that, I mean, when you have the the king of the land telling you to do something and you say no, that takes great faith. It takes great strength to do that. And so they didn't kill their babies. They didn't kill the babies. They didn't do none of that. And then even one of the the sister of Moses, Miriam, I don't know if you guys heard of her, she was there when Moses was getting picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. She was there, and she's the one who came up and said, "Oh, I got a woman that can help nurse the baby," you know, because, and that ended up being the mother of Moses. So she was there, she had faith, she watched and made sure that he made it okay and saved Moses. And what ended up happening? Moses ended up being a great leader. Just for her faith in that, that was good. So remember, you don't think that the little things that we do don't get unchecked, because every little thing that we do for each other, for others, for the Lord, it's got a it can have a purpose, and it can come out to be something great and grand. So everything counts. Then you have Ruth, who this kind of text of the verse that I got, because she's mentioned as a virtuous woman, but another. In other Bibles, they have another thing. It's called the Women of Excellence. I kind of like that term, Women of Excellence. But she, we know her story. She was widowed. She stayed with her mother, and she wasn't part of the Hebrews. But she ended up trusting in God, and she ended up finding a man named Boaz, and had a child with him. And that child, because she ended up trusting in God, trusting in all them things. I mean, imagine her. She was with people that she wasn't even part of. And she loved her mother-in-law. And she ended up getting a guy, a husband, where he ended up having the line of David, which in turn had the line of Christ. So all these things of being a virtuous woman, now she's in the Bible and we read about her all the time. You know, so, and she had great faith for that. And you have Rahab. We all know about Rahab, the harlot. Her whole city was facing annihilation, but she chose. She knew. She heard the stories about God, and she said, "I'm not playing with that." You know what I'm saying? She knew about what happened to Egypt. She knew how they dried up the Red Sea. She knew about all them stories, and she's like, "Oh, they're coming for us," and she's. Chose to serve the Lord and help them spies. And she ended up being in the heroes of faith anyways. Then you have Deborah in Judges chapter 4 and 5. Deborah was a prophetess. And she was almost like a military leader too. So she was a woman in the Bible who was a prophetess and a military leader. And then around them stories, you remember Jael, Heber's wife, who put the nail in the temple, in the guy's temple, and killed him. It's them around that time. She was the, I think she was the fourth judge. Yeah, she was the fourth judge going into the book of Judges. But the Lord used her in a mighty way. The widow of Zarephath. This one's always, every time I hear this one's kind of deep for me, because Elijah came and asked her for food, and she basically didn't have much at all. She had so little food that she probably was going to die, like she didn't have nothing, and she still gave him the food. Like, I don't know if you remember that story where then her son dies, and then Elijah brings him back to life. Yeah, but then after she gave that food to the prophet Elijah, that they ended up having a bunch of food after that. So, you know, she thought it well to help this man, you know, the last of her food. I mean, would we do that for others? Think about it. I mean, if you're starving and hungry and you have a kid to feed and this is the last of the last, will you be willing to? So this woman did that. Then we have Queen Esther. Yeah, who, I like Queen Esther because her whole family was going to face. The whole Israel, this was going to face genocide, and all of her people, even her herself, because she's a Jew too. So, and she foiled the plot of Haman, and she saved the Jews of genocide, and Mordecai, who was her uncle, You know, they, him and Haman didn't like each other, and he made a decree to kill all of Israel's people. She stepped in, made a banquet, and she told the king, and she had faith in that, because sometimes you can't, the king was powerful, yeah, you couldn't just, even though she was the queen, you couldn't just say anything to the king, like, so she stood up for her people, and she stopped that, and because we all know what probably happened then. Then where would there be the line of Christ? You know what I mean? So she stepped in and stopped the line of Christ from being extinct. Now we're going to get into Paul's, the ones for today, Paul's epistles. We have Phoebe, who isn't mentioned much, but this woman was a church leader. She was a sister and servant of the church, and this she's mentioned in Romans, but she helped many people, and she was a co-worker with Paul. So Paul gave her props. I think it was in Cenchrea, and so she was very strong with Paul's ministry and all that. And then we have Priscilla. We all know about Priscilla and Aquila, and Priscilla. Because they let Paul stay at their house one time, could have been a few times, but she was a businesswoman. She was a businesswoman. She's of the same business as Paul. They were tent makers, and she was teaching Apollos when Apollos was, you know, the eloquent man, and she showed him. He was talking about baptism, and she was in the ministry. Her and Aquila were showing him, hey, well, this is something else. She was a church leader. She was Paul's co-worker. She was a godly wife, and they had a church in their home. So she was powerful with working with her husband and serving the Lord and being with Paul there. Then we have I think we have one more, Lydia. All right, so I know you guys know some of these stories, but I just want to mention them. So Lydia is was from Philippi, and she got converted. She got saved same time as the jailer. The jailer around that same time. When they got saved by Paul and Silas, she was a businesswoman, and the Lord opened her heart. Oh, the Lord opened her heart, and she worshipped God, and she listened to Paul and offered help with her home. I think that was her too that did that. But Paul was at her house and comforted the brethren, just to kind of go a little off this tangent, but the jailer, because he got saved around that time, and he asked, what must I do to be saved? And we all know that's one most important question in the world. What must I do to be saved? And we all know that you believe the saving gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. But that's just a question I want to throw out there. So if you're listening and you want to know anything, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says in Philippians 4:3, Paul said, women labored with him in the gospel, and their names are in the book of life. So there was women of all around time, all throughout time, even up to today, that served the gospel, that served mightily in the scriptures. And they do it with great honor and great grace. And that's why I'm here today, to honor them. So we might finish 5 minutes early, but hopefully we were able to honor Christian women today and see what God thought about them. So if you've been stuck in this cycle of sorrow that we've talked about, or living a heartbroken or a lost and sinful life, and you're sick of it, and you know and want to change, give God a try. Serve the Lord today. You know, this is, we're believers here, but this is for anybody that's listening, because I've been there. You know, any woman that, I've been there. You know, I've seen that the world is, the Lord says, be not of this world. No, love not this world. And yeah, we be in it and we want to enjoy it, but if we serve, we can't serve two masters. We can't serve the Lord and we can't serve the world. the same time. So if you hopefully that these stories of women let you find out a little more about what God thought about women. So that to live a true and God honoring Christian life, let God use you today. And let him use you today, because God uses women, he uses men, he uses everyone that wants to be opportune for him. So I'm like I said, I'm thankful for the women today. I'm thankful for the women here. There's a lot of strong women, Christian women here, and you could be a strong Christian woman today. So we thank you. We'll give you a shout out. We appreciate you. This one, that one was for the ladies. So does anybody have any comments or any questions?
Comment, and we can, the women can take heart, because a couple of the women, a lot of them didn't have an issue of not following the Lord, but Sarah, even though she's mentioned in the great women, I didn't realize that in Hebrews 11, but she laughed when she heard she was to save the child, and she was the one that brought Hagar to Abraham, so she had fallen, and she's redeemed and mentioned as a faithful woman.
Yeah.
And Miriam is a faithful woman, even though she went through, I don't know exactly what the issue was, she didn't trust what Moses and the Lord were sharing with the people. She went through that leprosy.
Yeah, the leprosy, I was reading that. Yeah.
She is a woman of God, and we can take heart that even if we've fallen and not trusted the Lord totally, that we can still be a woman of faith and honor ultimately.
Yeah, I like that. I like what you said, because just like how you said it, we fall. We're not perfect. We all make mistakes. And she still got honored. She ended up serving, listening to what God said, and she's ended up being the mother of the Jews, you know, and being there with Abraham. So anybody else? We're all good.
Yeah, it's just showing that humanity, God chose people that are not perfect.
Right.
Every one of us have our downfalls, and that's why we have to claim the Lord for our daily, you know, lives. We make a lot of difficulties, but we have to strive through it. And also, especially in our generation now, we see a lot of families that are single, handedly being taken care of one person. We have a lot of families that don't have any fathers, and the mothers are taking over that responsibility. And we have studies that are showing that kids that are raised in a single home are more likely to be incarcerated than kids that are raised by both parents. So really, right now, our main goal is having a man and a woman raise their family together, and we can do that until people are being saved and being brought to the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, well, I couldn't have said that better, because it is a thing within relationships that they're struggling, and the man needs to be strong. And the men are, we're failing in some points, but you know, that's why we have the strong women. They, like I was saying, they sometimes they have to help us out, and but good.
I was going to add to what Laurie said about Hebrews 11 and how it only talked about Sarah's faith and didn't say anything about her laughing and her unbelief. You know, if you read that chapter, it's pretty much true of all, even the men in that chapter. Abraham had his faults, and so did the others. And it's not a thing where God is trying to whitewash, you know, his failing people and make them look good. Years ago, I heard someone, a preacher, say, or in a book I was reading, that in Hebrews 11 and in the New Testament, to look back at the Old Testament people, you had to look through the cross to see them. And so it's kind of not like God's whitewashing them, he's blood washing them. washed in the blood, it says in Revelation 1. And so that's how, you know, God's not covering up their sins and whitewashing them. The Lord paid for them, the sins of his men and his women. So, and about that brawling woman there.
No.
You know, the first thought that came to my mind was in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul tells Timothy that pastors shouldn't be brawlers. And I thought, oh, okay. So just wanted to add that in there, that women, you know, aren't the only brawlers in the Bible. And Timothy was kind of a timid fellow, you know, so Paul had to tell him that he shouldn't be a brawler. It's apparently something that any of us can have our brawling moments.
King David.
Yeah.
Of God's loving forgiveness. A man after God's own heart. God called him a man after his own heart after all the things he went through. Mm-hmm. But he was never allowed to build a temple because he had blood on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of free call. The Old Testament shows us God's grace in many, many situations.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me up here. I did want to just close that this was just to honor the women and maybe inspire any woman that wants to come to the Lord, because we're grateful for you guys, for you ladies. So I'll close this off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. We hope that the Holy Spirit gives us teaching us and helping us see these things, these truths, and we are grateful for the women today, because I wouldn't be here without my mother, and wouldn't be here without God's word flowing through them. So, and empower them, empower us men as well, so that we can all serve you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name.